Have you come to kill the king?
I wish I could, said Tepic. He's really beginning to get on my nerves. Look, could you take your bangles off?
Why?
They make such a noise when you walk. Even Patrache's earrings appeared to chime the hours when she moved her head.
I don't want to, she said. I'd feel naked without them.
You're nearly naked with them, hissed Tepic. Please.
She can play the dulcimer,
said the ghost of Tepikheim on the 27th, apropos of nothing much.
Not very well, mind you. She's up to page 5 of Little Pieces for Tiny Fingers.
Tepic crept to the passage leading out of the embalming room and listened hard. Silence ruled in the palace, broken only by heavy breathing and the occasional clink behind him as Patrache stripped herself of her jewellery. He crept back.
Please hurry up, he said. We haven't got a lot of...
Patrache was crying.
Said Tepic.
Some of these were presents from my granny,
sniffed Patrache.
The old king gave me some too. These earrings have been in my family for ever such a long time. How would you like it if you had to do it?
You see, jewellery isn't just something she wears,
said the ghost of Tepikheim on the 27th.
It's a part of who she is.
My word, he added to himself, that's probably an insight. Why is it so much easier to think when you're dead?
I don't wear any, said Tepic.
Well, you've got all those daggers and things.
Well, I need them to do my job.
Well, then.
Look, you don't have to leave them here. You can put them in my pouch, he said. But we must be going, please.
Goodbye,
said the ghost, sadly, watching them sneak out to the courtyard. He floated back to his corpse, who wasn't the best of company. The breeze was stronger when they reached the roof. It was hotter, too, and dry. Across the river, one or two of the older pyramids were already sending up their flares, but they were weak and looked wrong.
I feel itchy, said Patrache. What's wrong?
It feels like we're in for a thunderstorm, said Tepic, staring across the river at the great pyramid. Its blackness had intensified, so that it was a triangle of deeper darkness in the night. Figures were running around its base like lunatics watching their asylum burn.
What's a thunderstorm?
Very hard to describe, he said in a preoccupied voice. Can you see what they're doing over there?
Patrache squinted across the river.
They're very busy, she said.
Looks more like panic to me.
A few more pyramids flared, but instead of roaring straight up, the flames flickered and lashed backwards and forwards, driven by intangible winds. Tepic shook himself. Come on, he said. Let's get you away from here.
I said we should have capped it this evening, shouted Pataclusp 2B above the screaming of the pyramid. I can't float it up now. The turbulence up there must be terrific.
The ice of day was boiling off the black marble, which was already warm to the touch. He stared distractedly at the capstone on its cradle and then at his brother, who was still in his nightshirt.
Where's father? He said.
I sent one of us to go and wake him up, said 2A.
Who? One of you, actually.
Oh, 2B stared again at the capstone.
Well, it's not that heavy, he said. Two of us could manhandle it up there.
He gave his brother an inquiring look.
You must be mad. Send some of the men to do it.
They've all run away.
Downriver, another pyramid tried to flare, spluttered, and then ejected a screaming, ragged flame that arched across the sky and grounded near the top of the Great Pyramid itself.
It's interfering with the others now, shouted 2B. Come on, we've got to flare it off. It's the only way.
About a third of the way up the pyramid's flanks, a crackling blue zigzag arced out and struck itself on a stone sphinx. The air above it boiled. The two brothers slung the stone between them and staggered to the scaffolding while the dust around them whirled into strange shapes.
Can you hear something? Said 2B as they stumbled onto the first platform.
What, you mean the fabric of time and space being put through the ringer? Said 2A.
The architect gave his brother a look of faint admiration. It was an unusual remark for an accountant. Then his face returned to its previous look of faint terror.
No, not that, he said.
Well, the sound of the very air itself being subjected to horrible tortures.
No, not that either, said 2B, vaguely annoyed. I mean the creaking noise.
Three more pyramids struck their discharges, which fizzled through the roiling clouds overhead and poured into the black marble above them.
Can't hear anything like that.